All right, here we go on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. A D-Hop Wednesday. Yep, just a D-Hop Wednesday.
Wide receiver in town.
All the talk about receivers. And I feel like all of us on this show, and frankly, everybody in Kansas City forgot about the name DeAndre Hopkins a little bit. You know, there was a lot of focus on Amari Cooper. That's who I think all of us wanted initially for them to trade for. And then like, really centered on Deontay Johnson for a little while.
I'm like, still interested in Deontay Johnson for what it's worth. I'm just going to put that out
there. Yeah, it's like, okay, well then you could still get DeMarcus Robinson if you had to. Okay. By the way, still would do that in a week and a half from now or so. That was the focus. And we all were like, well, I guess DeAndre Hopkins maybe just not going to get traded. And I didn't really hear anything, very quiet. Brad Veach literally working in the night behind the scenes to pull this thing off. DeAndre Hopkins, it'll be official hopefully later today. But by all accounts, DeAndre Hopkins is a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen to some of the details from Ian Rappaport.
It has been a long rumor deal that now is happening. Sources say DeAndre Hopkins, the star receiver for the Tennessee Titans, is in the process of being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. The champs continue to load up. Another day, another big-time receiver moves. It has certainly been a season full of them. We've seen Devontae Adams. We've seen Amari Cooper. Now DeAndre Hopkins is the latest. My understanding is this is in exchange for a fifth-rounder that could become a fourth-rounder. The two sides are still going back and forth now on salary. My understanding is the Titans are going to pay some of DeAndre Hopkins' base salary for this year just to make it easier for the Chiefs to withstand the salary. But this trade is expected to happen. So KC has lost Hollywood Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster not going to play this week. But DeAndre Hopkins is expected to be there. You're right. This has been a long rumored trade. But listen to how fast it happened. It has been nothing but rumors till about, I would say, midnight last night, Kansas City time. The two sides got together. They kind of threw hypotheticals back and forth. By about 5 or 6 in the morning today, it became clear that a deal would happen. Expected to be finalized soon. D-Hop going to join the Chiefs.
There's the details there. Late into the night. Throwing out hypotheticals like we would, you know?
Hey, it's midnight. You know, what do you think?
You know, we joke about...
What if I gave you a fourth? Would that, you know...
We joke about Bink texting us different things. It was like Binkley texting us, you know, late in the evening about what do you think about this move or whatever. Same thing. Brad Veach, I don't know who the hell the GM is over there in Tennessee. They've changed hands in the last year or so. That GM in Nashville, we're going to go out to Nashville, by the way, an hour from now and check in on their perspective with the trade. But that trade did literally happen in the middle of the night.
The thing I like the best about it is what we discussed yesterday. Because I'll be honest, if you'd give me the choice between the compensation of Amari Cooper, I'd probably choose that. If you give me the choice of if Deontay Johnson was available, because maybe I go that way, we'll see. But the thing I like about it the most is the simple thing. Yesterday I said it would be malpractice to go into this game on Sunday with the wide receiver unit they had. If anyone read Nate Taylor's article over in The Athletic, and I'm sure some of you did, as a regular guest on the show, they were about to walk into a game with like 310 total yards this season in 6 games out of the wide receiver unit. That was going to be unacceptable. You couldn't walk in the rest of the season. You had to make a move soon. I was tired of the deadlines 2 weeks away. Things can take their time. No. Not when you're down to nobody. Not when Juju had already been ruled out for Sunday. You had to make some decisions. So they instantly got significantly better. I don't have to give you any stats. I don't have to tell you how he'd probably be their leading wide receiver this season, even though he's missed time or has been hurt part of the time. It's an instant upgrade, an immediate upgrade. They needed this, and they're now better today because of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you want to bring up stats because the stats aren't really impressive. That's not the story. We're going to talk about...
No, but he would still be the best receiver on this team.
I'd say 173 yards. Yeah, like we'll talk about the reality of who he is as a player still and who he isn't maybe anymore. But the fact is, from a pure number standpoint, they had to go and make a move, and they didn't just go get the lowest guy on the totem pole.
They didn't go get D-Rob.
They got DeAndre Hopkins, who... We'll talk about it. Even if he's 75 or 80% of himself, it is still a massive upgrade. They got the best of both worlds, though. This, to me, should appease no matter what side of a fan you are on this. We have gotten text and phone calls over the last couple weeks. There's a fraction of Chiefs fans that were like, trade whatever it takes. There was some that said,
sell your soul.
The fifth round pick is the most valuable thing I've ever heard. You know, like, so I think this is the best of both worlds for those that don't want to mortgage the future, but for those that also recognize, hey, history is on the line here. You're going for a three-peat. This wide receiver room was down at one point in the game on Sunday to Hardman, Moore, and Watson. Like, that just can't happen.
And Worthy.
No, I said at one point because Worthy got it. That's what I was. Yes.
Yes.
You got correct. Me. We're on the same page. So the Chiefs got the best of both worlds because they were able to help the immediate while also not mortgaging the future. Cody, it's a conditional fourth. It's a fifth-round pick, and I think depending on what the final terms are, maybe becomes a fourth if they go to the Super Bowl. Oh, what a shame if they would have to give up that fourth-round pick instead of a fifth-round pick. That's why I like this trade. They didn't have to give up a day one or a day two pick to go and make this team better. Now, are there concerns with his health and things like that? We're going to go out to Nashville at 11. There's been some reporting that he has maybe a partially torn MCL that he has not gotten surgery on. The reason why I'll tell you I'm not as concerned about the injury maybe as some others, and I don't know where you're at on this, Cody, is if it was the point where he couldn't play or couldn't be productive, well, the Chiefs wouldn't let him pass the physical, which is required. We've always joked about he's going to get traded pending a physical. If a team wants you to pass the physical, they'll pass you in the physical. So sure. They're clearly not concerned about it, especially given the compensation they're giving up.
That's what it is. No concern over the injury? I'm not there.
Yeah.
Definitely not there. They've already lost two wide receivers for seemingly the entire season. Maybe Hollywood Brown comes back later in the year, according to some reports. Juju Smith-Schuster is now out for what seemingly will be weeks.
Yeah.
Right on that end. So they don't really have the depth to handle more wide receiver injuries. So do I like trading for an injured guy? No, but at 32 years old, I don't know. It was Kevin Clark was just tweeting about this 10 minutes ago as it relates to Aaron Rodgers, and this is probably also true. Keith Traylor, not the guy who just got called up from the Chiefs practice squad, the original Keith Traylor here in Kansas City, Kevin Clark said he was standing in a locker room, and it was like he was limited in practice today. He said, I'm 38. I'm always limited. I think at some point, wide receiver at his age, DeAndre Hopkins, is probably playing with some version of a minor injury all the time. All I needed out of them was, and I mean, based on the type of wide receiver we were asking for, what did we say yesterday? Said, well, they don't need MVS. They need a guy who can like go over the middle, a guy who can get a first down on third and six, a guy who can run a correct route on third and nine. I mean, that's pretty much what you just traded for. He's not, yeah. I don't think he's a superstar anymore. I don't think he's old DeAndre Hopkins anymore. But a year ago on a pretty bad Titans team with nobody throwing to him, he managed to get to 1,000 yards still, and he's going to be a target monster here. He's going to be a volume shooter at the very least here because they got no one else looking to eat up all these targets.
Right. Even if you're skeptical because of his age, because of the injury concern, and I think we're all recognizing that, yeah, this isn't like trading for him in 2020 or signing him in 2021. No, yeah. Nobody, I think, is suggesting that. But because of the situation in Tennessee where Will Levis was throwing him the football this season, and that's all I need to say. You know there's going to be at least some improvement just because it's Mahomes and it's Andy Reid who is as creative as they come. And yeah, they don't need DeAndre Hopkins to be the guy that's run down the field 40 yards. They need the guy that is the Rashee Rice routes. That's what Juju Smith-Schuster did against the Saints. That's why he had such a massive day. It was wide open underneath. They need DeAndre Hopkins to be able to execute, and he's a veteran, so he can, those, you know, underneath routes, inside routes, red zone targets, that kind of stuff. That's what they're looking for from DeAndre Hopkins. Eventually, later on in the year, they might get Juju Smith-Schuster back, maybe 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now, something like that. But this is a huge addition to this team, even if we all recognize it's not like they're getting the guy that got once, 1,700 yards.
What I like about Brett Veach and the way he's handled these, now, I mean, he's traded for a wide receiver in three straight years. So part of that is like, you might want to start drafting some of these dudes rather than just give up a third, and a fifth in each of the last 3 years to try to acquire wide receivers.
In two straight years, they have drafted Rashee Rice and Worthy.
Sure. I was like, I mean, you have to double up, I guess is the argument I'm making. But yes. But what I like about it is he's never been afraid to do it when it was clearly needed. Like in the previous time, some of those were closer to the trade deadline.
Yes.
Because they weren't in a hurry on Mecole Hardman, right? They didn't have to get him off. They didn't need to get him on the team right now. They didn't need him this second. They had an identity. They knew what they were doing. Yeah, this was a good addition. We know that our wide receiver unit's weaker, but, you know, we got Rashee Rice developing. We'll kind of make these things work. this was a more desperate situation. They were getting ready to walk into a game on Sunday with, I don't know, do you think that the combined career yardage of Sky Moore, Justin Watson, Xavier Worthy, and Mecole Hardman equals even like the two best years of DeAndre Hopkins combined? Like the career yardage.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, Justin Watson got like 1,100 career yards. Xavier Worthy's got like 200. Mecole Hardman probably has a couple thousand. And Sky Moore has like 4 career yards, I think, roughly. And so it's like 400. I don't know. But when you look at where they're at, this adds an element to their offense they simply didn't have. And look, the truth is, I think the Chiefs have thought he's a fit for their offense for years. The reason why I know that is they tried to recruit him as a free agent a couple of years ago. They've tried to trade for him in previous right. years. And while they would have been willing to give up more to get DeAndre Hopkins in the building as a fit earlier, the compensation versus what they needed never lined up. A fifth? I'll just be honest. I'd have given him a fifth for almost any wide receiver. I mean, just any wide receiver on the street. I'd have almost given up a fifth round pick for it. I don't care about a fifth round pick. So to get DeAndre Hopkins for it feels like a great deal. Fourth, if it turns into Super Bowl, like you said, who cares?
Right. I mean, we thought it would take a fifth or a sixth or something like that potentially for a DeMarcus Robinson or a Deontay yeah. Johnson or a Darius Slayton. So to get Hopkins, and I think, by the way, there's a reason why you're getting him for a fifth, though. That's what we're saying, like balancing the expectation with still recognizing it's a huge upgrade for this team and a necessity. But you're getting him for a fifth because he's now, what, 32 years old? He is coming off of an injury. This year hasn't really been on the field that much. That's why you're getting him for a fifth. So there, it's not like you're getting for a fifth for no reason. There's a reason why yeah. his compensation has dipped.
Because he's older.
But for this team, for what they're going to ask him to do, it's a great thing. Not to mention, I do think there's just an element of, hell, I'll be honest, like just driving into work and we host a radio show. We're not playing. I had an extra pep in my step. If you're DeAndre Hopkins, you're hopping on a plane today. You got to be a little more excited anyway.
You skip a little.
How could you not? You were getting passes from Will Levis. Now you're on a team that can complete your career. You don't have a ring yet, DeAndre Hopkins. You've had a great career. You're going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day, but you don't have the ring. You don't have the ring. And now you got a chance to get a ring and also do it on a team that might make history. How does that not also... push you through if you're dealing with an injury? How does that not push you through? The effort, I have no question the type of effort or anything like that you're going to get from DeAndre Hopkins.
So like, yeah, I mean, you just have to be a great player. Yeah.
I'm just saying though, like it could be easy to like, all right, my team's 1-5 and I've got freaking Will Levis or Mason Rudolph throwing me the football.
Hamstring feels a little extra tight this week. Knee feels a little extra right. sore this week. I'll take a couple of times off. I will say, based on the only thing that is like, surprising about this to me. I'm not surprised they traded for a wide receiver.
Right.
I'm not surprised DeAndre Hopkins was one of the receivers that a million people have listed. This is the antithesis of the style of wide receiver that Andy Reid likes. It always seems, to be honest, far more likely that Andy Reid would trade for a guy who was like 5'6".
Oh, Tutu Atwell.
190 pounds or 170 pounds who runs a 4.4 40 than a big-bodied, catch-with-his-hands wide receiver. Like, this actually seems different than the type of wide receiver Patrick Mahomes has ever had. What's the closest he's had to this style? DeMarcus Robinson when he was the fourth receiver on this team? Like, because he kind of plays that style of football? I mean... this isn't the type of guy he goes for. Maybe Juju this year, they've kind of molded him into that a little bit. But I feel like he is still slightly different. It's like the one thing I've always wanted to see in this offense is the sideline throw that every other team does where it's like 20 yards down the field and just back shoulder it. It's like this is the kind of player you can do
target.
That to.
Yeah, it's his red zone target, Drew. And specifically, the last couple of years, we've highlighted the ability to track the football. And they haven't had somebody that was capable of tracking the football at the DeAndre Hopkins level since Tyreek Hill. He's the last member of this Chiefs wide receiver room that can truly track the football well. It's been an issue for Mecole Hardman. Rashee Rice has been great, but they're not asking him to do that kind of thing. We haven't seen Hollywood Brown in this offense. I don't know if we ever will, maybe at the end of the season. So that is the element they haven't had, and that might be the most exciting part of this. Yes, he can run the underneath crossing routes, and he's a smart football, intelligent, veteran, smart football player, but he can track the ball and utilize his skill set. He doesn't have to be 6'3". Yeah, he's only 6'1". It's not like they're getting a 6'4 target, but he's 6'1", and he can track the ball, so he plays taller than 6'1". And that is what you're describing, Cody, a little bit, and that's what is exciting about DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, we talk about wide receivers like they're a power forward. 6'1"'s a pretty good-sized wide receiver. 6'1", would be, yeah, short point guard. He's not playing small forward. Like, I get it. There are guys like Jamar Chase who are, and Jamar Chase is 6', 6'1", right? So he's always Justin Jefferson. We think of those as being like these big bodied, tall wide receivers. All those guys are like 6'. The 6'4" guys, they exist in this league, but there aren't that many Randy Mosses floating around here. 6'5", 6'6". He's taller than every other wide receiver probably on their roster. Like, I mean, in all reality, MVS was the last 6'4" wide receiver they had.
I feel like, yeah, the comp for like what he's done in his career and like the type of guy is like more like Justin Jefferson, because they're both 6'1". Like, you throw the ball up, DeAndre Hopkins is going to, he can go and get the ball. Like, it's not only tracking, it's I need to out jump this defender.
It takes he can do it. It takes heat off of Travis. It takes heat off of Xavier Worthy. It makes these guys like, they found a good, like, the one thing I'll say about the Chiefs offense, which I think is an extreme compliment, is they know exactly who they are. Like, we might not like the way they look on offense sometimes. It might not be aesthetically pleasing all the times. But is anybody questioning whether or not the Chiefs have an identity on offense? Because they clearly have that. They know how they run the ball. They know how they pass the ball. They know the areas in which they are successful. The only place in which it seems like they're sometimes guessing is the red zone. They move the ball about as well as any team in the NFL from the 20 to 20. They know who they are. So fitting DeAndre Hopkins into what they are is just saying, be Juju. Not we're changing our offense. Not we're doing something different. Hey, remember what Juju was doing for 1 week? Just do that. Those under crosses, these things, yep. You're going to take stuff. Kelsey's going to take some attention away from you. Worthy's going to go down the field deep. We're going to make this easy for you, DeAndre. But I mean, they have an identity. Like, whether we love it or not, they have an identity.
Yeah, and I think we're all saying kind of the same thing. Just when we were talking about contested catches, ball tracking is part of that in order to get a contested catch. So we're kind of saying the same thing when we're discussing that, however we want to phrase it. But this is, I think, surprising news, only because it was quiet on the Hopkins front. I know we played the audio of Ian Rapoport saying this was a long rumored trade. I actually disagree with that.
As in previous years, I think.
Yeah, like, sure. But it's not like in the last week there's been a ton of noise on the Chiefs trading for DeAndre Hopkins. They were interested, as you pointed out, in an offseason a year or so ago, but the Titans were willing to, we thought, overpay at the time for him. But in terms of, like, so I guess long rumored in that regard, but it's not as if the reports have been, oh, the Chiefs are really keying in on DeAndre Hopkins. In fact, yesterday, all the noise from Diana Rossini and everybody else was about who? Cooper Kupp. That was where the noise was, that the Chiefs are really searching, or I should say, have had conversations and leaning into the possibility of Cooper Kupp, and they want a second round pick, which we know was never going to happen for the Chiefs to give up a second round pick for Cooper Kupp. Thank goodness, by the way. I don't think any team's given up a second round pick. But that was what was surprising. I woke up this morning as I'm sure you checked Twitter fairly early on, and you're like, wait, okay, here we go. I saw Bob's tweet, and it happened right before their show. And so I was like, well, this is actually happening. They're going to go out and get DeAndre Hopkins. We'll talk plenty about the maybe concern on the injury front when we go out to Nashville at 11 o'clock, because I think it's a fair conversation. What is realistic? What's realistic for this Sunday as well against the Raiders? Reports are that Hopkins is flying into Kansas City this afternoon. Who knows?
You and
I might see him at the airport. We can go all TMZ style at the airport. Maybe he will be leaving the gate.
You're just going to bombard the man with cell phone video?
We're going to leave the gate. He'll be leaving the gate that we're entering, maybe, you know, this afternoon, right at KCI.
I mean, I guess I'll take a picture of him if that's what happens. Yeah. But mm-hmm. He's not coming from that area? I guess I don't actually know where the plane's coming from. That's a great point. It could just be he flew in from Nashville. I'm guessing he's flying on... Did he fly on like a jet? Or is he just like coming at the airport?
I don't know, man.
How's that work? Do you send the jet for a 32-year-old wide receiver making $4 million for your team?
I think this way you use the AirShare. You know, yeah, one of those companies
sends it out.
Well, not to be, but just one of those companies. You know, a little AirShare. You got some AirShare. You know, something like that.
Okay. I'm just asking. I don't know what the protocol is.
I don't know if it's the same. Here's the reason why it probably is a private jet. They want him in here ASAP. As in,
yeah,
please,
they need him at practice this afternoon.
We need you. Like, we already sent you the file. Like, I don't know how that works because they're all on iPads now with the playbooks, but we already sent you the encrypted playbook, man. You know, we're not there waiting for you. You're already reading that thing on the flight. I would hope that they already, like, we're not waiting for you to get in to hand you the playbook on the iPad. We're gonna find a way to securely send you the playbook right now.
Something tells me when you've been a wide receiver in this league for 10 years, picking up a playbook is not the challenging part. You know? The, like, okay, just tell me, you call it route ZF and I call it RZ, got it. But that the same thing is, that's the, okay, I'll figure it out. Like, there is some part of that where I know that they'll take a little bit of time to kind of get used to each other because that's the way kind of the balance of this works. But the thing is like someone, like Charge, right? We'll have him on tomorrow and someone's gonna be like, should you be starting him in fantasy football? Who else is getting the ball? That's a very real question I would ask you. If not him, then who?
Yeah, maybe not Sunday. I don't know about this Sunday.
I think on Sunday.
We'll see. I mean, he's gonna play on Sunday, it sounds like, but is it a limited package? I mean, how much can you know of the offense in 3 days?
You're saying he might have an Amari Cooper like impact, Cody.
Amari Cooper was traded on Tuesday last week. They played Sunday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had
four for 60 and like a touchdown.
Yeah.
And the touchdown, reportedly, he didn't run the right route. Like, Josh Allen was like, no, it's not there. Whatever. But that's also the kind of quarterback that Mahomes is. Mahomes is also, he has been in the league. Amari Cooper, too. Like, guys like that can step off the street and play football for your team. Like, I know it's complicated to learn an NFL playbook, but I think the jump from college to NFL playbook is mostly when we're talking about that. If you've been in the league for 10 years, there isn't some mystery. Like, the language says slightly different things.
I hear
but
you.
But isn't slightly different things.
I think he's going to play on Sunday, but he's not going to just have 100% full access to of the playbook. You know what I mean? There's no way.
I wonder what a touchdown bet would be. That might be a...
Like, could he have three catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown? Yeah, I mean, I guess what are we talking about, the difference between you and I on this? I think he's going to play and have a package. Like, do I think he's getting 10 targets, Cody? No, I don't know if that's what you're saying. You're thinking he's getting. I don't think his first game he's getting 10 targets. I think eventually he's getting 10 targets a game. Absolutely.
Might be getting 15 a game at the end of the season. They have no one else in the wide receiver unit who requires targets. Everyone else is a 2 to 3 target person.
You're saying he's going
to
be.
I think we have to balance expectation long term. He is 32 and he's partially injured. I don't think he's getting 15 targets a game. The goal is still to keep him available for the playoffs as well. The same thing applies that we've talked about with everybody else.
Yeah, there's some truth to that.
But can he get 10 targets a game eventually? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Sky Moore's a 0-target receiver. Mecole Hardman's a 2-target receiver. Xavier Worthy's a 5-target receiver probably now that things are looking a little bit different.
I mean, they just ran the ball 40 times
last week.
Justin Watson
has been a 1-target receiver.
15 is obviously being hyperbole. There's only one player in the NFL who averages 10 targets a game this season, and his are getting ready to go down because it's Garrett Wilson. And presuming Davante Adams will take some version of that. Actually, there's a few. Malik Nabers averages 12.
I hear he's pretty good.
CD's got a lot too, normally.
And he's only 9.2. But I do think that he's going to be in that range. Like, the T. Higgins, 9 targets a game. Drake London, 8.9. Godwin was at 8.9. Like, I think he's in that range because the other guys just don't require that kind of target share. Unless all of a sudden this opens up everything for Travis Kelce, the guy who used to have that kind of target share for this team. They're going to throw at DeAndre Hopkins a lot. Good. And yeah, I do want him healthy for the postseason and all the other things. I think the simplest way to guarantee yourself that is to keep winning football games to guarantee yourself a bye. Then you get to tinker and mess around with and end of the season a million different ways.
Yeah, he's gonna have an opportunity to have a huge impact. When you're looking at the offense, though, and dividing up the targets and everything, all I'm saying is, like, they just ran the ball 40 times in a game. This is not adding him to the 2018 offense where they're going to have Mahomes throw it 38 times. Like, that's just not what they've been doing.
No, I don't think Hopkins coming in, they're going to throw it 40 times.
I also don't think they're running it 40 times a game, but Kareem Hunt's getting like 23 carries a game. That's basically what they've been willing to do. So he doesn't even have to come in and be the guy that's getting 10 targets a game. There's a chance that that's what he might be at some point, but he can be a 7-target guy, give you 4 catches that are meaningful and a touchdown in the red zone every week or every other week. And you're feeling great about the acquisition. I don't think you should put nearly as much on his plate as this is not bringing him in 2020, both from his own point of view, from where he's at, and from where the offense is at.
I don't even know if you can grade this type of a trade because obviously if they don't win the Super Bowl, you could say, well, the trade failed, but they had to.
That's how
the
last two trades went. We have to go through the argument of technically, statistically, neither trade worked over the last 2 years, but they won the Super Bowl in each of the two. So who cares?
I mean, even
like,
if
I don't care.
I feel like they're in a position where they had to make it. They had to do something. So even if they don't, if they make it to the Super Bowl and they lose in the Super Bowl, it's not a fail of a trade because they had to do it to get there in the first place. I don't know. I think it's just hard to grade this one.
Yeah, no matter where
you're postseason.
Yeah, like we can all have differing degrees of what we think productivity is, and we'll take your calls and texts on this too. 913-586-7965. Are you good with the compensation? I most of you seem to be good. Someone else says, hey, fifth round's usually Brett Veach's best work. Mike Dana was a fifth round pick. I'm just saying, like, Mike Dana has been a very nice pick for this team. But if you're worried, especially in the middle of a run that they're on, a three-peat run, that you're giving up a fifth, then you're honestly just, and it's fine, you're just not willing to trade any draft picks. If you're not willing to give up a fifth round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, even at 32, for an offense that is down to like four available receivers with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback in this current era, then it's fine. You're just not willing to give up a pick for anybody. You don't
like to trade. You want your seven picks every year, no matter what. And that's fine, I guess. But yeah, sometimes you got to trade.
Let's get a national perspective on this. Let's find out from Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, how he views this trade. What does it do for Kansas City? Do they need to go out and still trade for another receiver? That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold. I guess DeAndre Hopkins just posted on his official Instagram account, backing out of his driveway. Caption said, activated. He's got his kids in the back seat. He's ready to go, man. He's ready to come to Kansas City. Look, Nashville's a great city.
The whole family.
Nashville's a great city. Great city. But man, Will Levis was throwing you the football. Mason Rudolph was throwing you the football. You got Patrick Mahomes, and you got Andy Reid.
Have a starker difference.
Yeah, and you got a chance to finally get a ring to cap off what is a Hall of Fame career for DeAndre Hopkins. Let's get a national perspective on this trade, though. Our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, joins us. He, of course, is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. And what a tie in the mayo with Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins. We got a perfect tie in today for Ross Tucker. Good morning, sir. Your reaction just to the news that DeAndre Hopkins is about to become a Chief later on today.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say I'm not overly surprised. You know, the Chiefs have a truly unique opportunity this year to do something, obviously, that no one's ever done. I think, you know, they were probably already going this route, but then the Juju Smith-Schuster hamstring injury, I don't even know how bad it is, but I think they just thought, we really got to get somebody else in here. And I love the fit, by the way, for two reasons. One is, you know, for Hopkins, he has made so much money. I mean, he's made so much money that this is sort of the icing on his career, the cherry on top, whatever you want to call it. Like, he has a chance, and he knows it, to really stamp his legacy even more. I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame player, but I think he probably thinks he's in the mix or close with the numbers he's put up. So this certainly would help that quite a bit, I'm sure, in his mind. And then, you know, and to go from Mason Rudolph and Will Levis to Mahomes, I mean, come on. The thing I like about, though, is Hopkins is one of those guys, he's always open, even when he's not open, because of his catch radius. I was, like, amazed when I met him, and he's, like, 6'1.5". If you ever watch a game where he plays, you feel like he's 6'4", 6'5". Like, he's that long and he's that good in contested catch situations. Really curious to see how quickly Mahomes feels comfortable to just throw him the ball when he's in any situation, especially near the sideline, especially back shoulder throws, because he's just so, I mean, he's one of the best we've ever seen in terms of boundary receivers and contested catch guys. And so I think that's the thing I'll be watching the most, is how quickly, you know, Patrick sort of feels comfortable firing those throws to him when he doesn't have a ton of separation.
Maybe not for this Sunday and the short timeline to get ready, although it sounds like they're going to try to have him at least maybe play somewhat on Sunday. But long term now with this trade, what do you think is realistic to expect for him? We know this is not DeAndre Hopkins from 2020 when he was 28 years old. He's also dealing with a little bit of a knee injury. So what do you think is realistic to expect from him?
Yeah, I don't think, just the way the Chiefs are constructed, I don't think he's going to put up huge numbers. You know, huge fantasy numbers for people that are into those things. I think he's just going to allow them to get a few more explosive plays, and to be able to convert some third downs that they were struggling to convert at times. You know, I think when you have a guy like this, and it's funny because the Buffalo Bills were kind of going through the same thing. You need a guy on the outside that can consistently win against man coverage, and that's Hopkins. And the Bills didn't really have that guy, which is why they got Cooper. DeAndre Hopkins can still do that, but he's also just, he's got a little bit of Kelce in his game, and that he's super savvy against zone as well. I just think it's a really, really good fit. We'll see. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for guys like that to be able to click together since they haven't worked together, but that's why doing it now, I think, is a good move, because obviously they're going to be in the playoffs. They get a lot of time to really kind of get in sync before January.
Sometimes we make it like just a physical game, which certainly football is, but there's a mentality part to it too. Ross, you've been a midseason acquisition. You've seen players acquired or traded midseason. How much extra juice does it add to, like, DeAndre Hopkins just be like, thank God it's not Will Levis? Like, getting on that plane, I would think, would motivate you in a way that you have not been all season.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was different. I was just happy that somebody signed me, still wanted me, or traded for me, or whatever the case would have been. I will say this, just side note. First time I got cut, I got picked up the next day on waivers by the Cowboys in October, like right around now. And I went to the Cowboys, and I was amazed with state income tax how much more my check was in Dallas than it was in Washington. Man, this getting fired thing is pretty good. Like, this is a pretty good deal. Not that I would recommend it, but he's actually doing the opposite, right? You guys have state income tax.
So we do.
So go from Nashville, where they don't have it, to you guys where they do.
That's right. And a 1% earnings tax, too, on top of it. Yeah.
Well, listen, like I said earlier, he's made so much money. There's no question he's fired up. It's by far the best chance he's had in his career to win a Super Bowl, to even play in one. You know what I mean? Like, and I know he wants to win it, but to my knowledge, I have to look it up again. Has he ever even been in an AFC championship game? You know, like, to be able to be in a situation like this where he has a chance to really do some cool things that he's never experienced before. You know, I mean, he's had some good moments in Arizona and some good moments in Houston, but not like this. Not like where he has a chance to play in a conference championship game, to play in a Super Bowl, to experience those things. I mean, I never got to do either one of those things, and it's disappointing, you know, because I want to be able to talk about it when it's that time of year, and I wanted to be able to experience that, and I never got a chance to, and now he's obviously got a golden opportunity to experience it.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Doesn't this also, the fact this trade happens, prove that a lot of the discussion that nobody will trade with the Chiefs, or you're going to have to pay a super premium to make it happen? They're like, that's just not true. Like, the Chiefs have been able to pull off these trades.
I have no idea why anybody ever said that or would think that. That makes no sense. Every general manager should solely do what's best for them. You know, what's best for their team. And what we're seeing here is that you have to assume that the fifth that could be a fourth was the best option that Rand Carthon could get. And it's why he did it. You know, I'm sure he'll say something about wanting to do right by DeAndre and Chiefs are good operators. Like, I'm sure he'll say that, but I don't know that I believe that. I don't even know that I think that's the right thing to do. I think the right thing to do is whatever's best for the Titans.
How long do you think the Chiefs will stand defeated, Ross? I'm curious because you look at the rest of the AFC, same four teams, no mystery. I mean, it's the Ravens, it's the Chiefs, it's the Bills. How long do you think they'll maintain undefeated before you think they have a chance to lose? The Bills?
What is that?
That's 3 weeks. So they would take on, this week they would take on the Raiders in Vegas. Then Monday Night Football against the Bucks, that game looks dramatically different. And then they have the Panthers, so you can just go ahead and write that one in.
And then the Bills.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if they beat the Bills, I think if they beat the Bills, then we can start to have that conversation. And I think there's another conversation to be had there, which is, do you even want to do it? Because, you know, they're going to, if that's the case, they get to 14-0, they'll probably have clinched home field advantage at that point.
Right.
So do they want to play those three more games? Is it worth the injury risk? I mean, they're already going for the three Super Bowl history. I don't know if they need to have the history of undefeated as well. I mean, that would be a heck of a that would be a heck of an accomplishment. The same year to be the first team to ever go undefeated and get your third Super Bowl, then nobody could ever say anything to any Chief. Anybody from Kansas City, anybody that's ever even been to the state of Missouri ever again for the rest of their lives.
It would be the end of the GOAT conversation somehow. Like, I feel like it would surpass Tom Brady. And by the way, I got it mixed up. They'll actually take on Denver before taking on Buffalo. Then they have the Panthers after Buffalo.
So what if they beat Buffalo, what would their record be?
Their record then would be 10-0. And then the remaining schedule, and I'm not kidding, would be Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, and the Raiders and Chargers would be at home. Cleveland, a tough game against Houston, at Pittsburgh, and at Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll lose to either the Bills, Texans, or Steelers, but they're going to have a really good record this year. That's for sure. I mean, it's remarkable. Although, I don't know, last year they didn't have a record and they still won it, but you certainly would want to have the walk, you know, you'd want to have the home field advantage in the bye. It would certainly make it a lot easier. And maybe because of that, maybe that would give Andy more reason to play the guys in the regular season, knowing that they're going to get the bye anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's the point that I brought up yesterday when we were discussing how they would handle the last week of the season if they were in that spot. Like, you're not going to give them 2 weeks off. Then you get worried about the whole rust conversation. I don't know if you believe in that or not as a former player, if you think that's something that actually would be a concern at that point. Let me ask you real quick about the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, I mean, Lamar Jackson is playing better than anybody in football at that position. But we've seen this before, right? Like, isn't it understandable to be skeptical about what this actually means for the Ravens' chances to win a Super Bowl? Because ultimately, it's going to be, how does he perform in January?
Yeah, and that's the same conversation I had yesterday with the Odyssey station in Buffalo about Josh Allen. The Bills and the Ravens are eerily similar to me. They're both really good. They've both been really good. They both have MVP caliber quarterbacks who are top five in the world and give them a chance to win every game. But they got to do it now in January. I mean, Burrow's done it once, at least beating Mahomes and getting to the Super Bowl. Now it's time for either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen to do it. And I think that they can, but to be honest with you, their best chance to do it was last year.
Right.
When the Chiefs weren't as good and the Chiefs had to go to Buffalo and to Baltimore. I mean, that was their best chance last year. Maybe it'll happen this year, but it's not like they're going to be in a better situation this year than they were last year.
Yeah, likely they'll be facing the games on the road. It's just like it's the same teams just kind of in repeat. Is there a team you think could sneak back up? Are you a believer in, like, Cincinnati's chances to come back? I just don't think they're a very good football team, but is there someone in the AFC you think re-enters this conversation?
Cincinnati and Houston, I'll give them each a chance. Cincinnati's defense, so their offense, Burrow and the receivers have been amazing pretty much the whole time. It's just their defense was terrible the first month, but they've been much better the last two games, so that gives them a chance. And we know they've had some success against the Chiefs. And then I think the Texans, they just have enough firepower that they could do it. Their O-line is not pass protecting very well. That's their biggest issue. But any of those teams have a chance against the Chiefs in a one-game scenario. And, you know, it's just crazy. If you go through and you look at all of the Chiefs' playoff games the last 4 years, how many, you know, one play here goes different, one play there, situations there are. And yet the Chiefs came out on top in all of them except for the Bengals one You know, like the Bengals overtime one. And so everybody kind of has a batting average in those games. You know, you're not going to win them all. It's just the Mahomes batting average in the January and, you know, December and February football games, it's just incredibly high to think, because it's not like they've been blowing people out. You know, it's like no. These have been one-score close games. It's, I would say they're tempting fate a little bit, and that it's unlikely that they can continue to win way more than their fair share of these one-score, could-go-either-way based-on-one-play games. It's remarkable what they've done.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Good to chat with you again, man. Enjoy the week, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There you go. Ross Tucker is presented by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Yeah, his last point there, I'm with him, but also I feel like we said that last year, and then what happened in the playoffs, they did clean things up, and they did start to play better, and that's why they were able to do it. Can they win the exact same way with some of the mistakes and stuff that they are now in the playoffs? No, I don't think
so
either.
But they just clean those things up? It's
that's
weird.
That's the issue, yeah.
It's history tells us Lamar Jackson will choke in the playoffs. He'll play much worse football. Josh Allen will play great football, but they'll still lose. And all the problems the Chiefs have been building up over the entire year, every little mistake, all the holding problems, the turnover issues, they just magically, and I borderline outside of that, I can't explain it, magically disappear January 15th, and this team stops making mistakes. And that's why they win all those games.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll head out to Nashville. Want to get their perspective. Did they see this DeAndre Hopkins move coming? What do they make of the compensation, and what do they know about the injury front for Hopkins, and what can Chiefs fans expect from him at this point in his career? So we'll go out there and talk to our friends over at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville to get their perspective. One other thing, you know, that we were discussing there with Ross was, of course, the undefeated stuff. And it is so true, though. Like, can you imagine in a year in which you're going for a three-peat, if they somehow were 17-0, and then they ultimately were, 20-0, I guess.
Talk about adding some pressure to getting the three-peat.
Well, adds pressure, but, like, he's if in this dream scenario, and dreams do sometimes come reality, and certainly with this franchise, why not? If they were 20-0, there is the ultimate, like, ultimate middle finger to everybody, like, I don't care what anybody ever says about the Kansas City Chiefs, like, ever again, Cody. Like, ever again. Like, you would be a complete moron to try to downplay anything this group has accomplished. Like, oh, yeah, but, you know, Mahomes, his interceptions were a little high that year that they, who gives a damn?
It would be the very end of the greatest of all time conversation book. But how? Alex said he needed to get to at least 5. No, he didn't. That'd be it. It would be over. It would be over. I wouldn't listen to a single Patriots fan seriously if at the end of this thing they three-peated in an undefeated season. So they did two things that had just not been done flat out. The one undefeated season was with Miami in 14 games. They would have accomplished two things in a year in which they lost. Because that's the other part. In a year in which they lost their number one running back, their number one wide receiver, their number two wide receiver, like, and Mahomes had his worst statistical season of his career, well, then I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care.
Perfect
that
season.
That would be the end of that. Andy Reid would then officially become, with a big, gigantic rubber stamp, he would become the single greatest coach of all time, without question, and Patrick Mahomes would become the single greatest quarterback of all time, without question. I would be done personally having that argument with anyone. Yeah. I would need nothing else for the rest of time to support that fact.
You wouldn't, and anybody that want to blame refs... The simple response every single time would be a picture of the three rings and the three-peat logo. And, oh, yeah, we'd be talking next August about going for a four-peat. So, yeah, that's the dream scenario. It would be an ultimate shut the hell up to everybody else, even though I think they're already kind of there. They're going for a three-peat, and that hasn't been something we've seen very often in general. But
they love blaming the refs for, like, Mahomes running on the sideline, but again, or
if you do
some
that,
holding call or whatever nonsense.
There's nothing left at that point.
Briscoe actually pointed that out really well for us. Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor that joins us on Fridays, he pointed out the thing that everyone should know, which is the very simple thing.
The refs are not cheating for the Chiefs. They're just not very good at their jobs. Okay? It's just, it's a hard job. It's a hard job to do with 100% accuracy, and not a single ref or umpire crew does it.
And that is why my thing now on my Twitter account is, whether it's college or NFL, anytime there is a blown call is just to point out said blown call and make a joke about the Chiefs getting the call, because the bad calls happen in every single football game. Like the Georgia-Texas one we pointed out. Like, those SEC officials really want the Chiefs to win, too. You know, they make bad calls in that game. Sunday Night Football, they made a terrible call on the extra point that was blocked, and they called it on the Steelers.
That was a really bad call.
The refs thought the refs were trying to make the Jets win. Is that what we're going with in that game? Like, no, they just stink. The refs stink. They're humans. They make mistakes, and they're more magnified than ever. And when the Chiefs already are hated by some because they win, and when they're on primetime anyway, their mistakes in those games are magnified more. And now the narrative, it's low-hanging fruit for people that are upset that the Chiefs keep kicking their ass. That's where we're at.
Yes. It's the easy answer for, I'm telling you, something's up.
Will you get a tattoo if they have a perfect season? 20-0?
What are you trying to get me a tattoo for everything that exists in this world?
I'm just asking the question. You could say no.
You can say related
tattoo.
You haven't
said no.
Would you get one?
No.
Come on.
No.
Your family was a season ticket holder when you were a kid. That's not how I grew up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think you should get it. So it's 20-0.
No tattoo.
You're anti-tattoo?
Personally, yeah, I don't have any. You have a couple, right?
I don't have any tattoos.
Drew's got a few.
Drew's got like 5 or 6 or 7. I don't know. He's got a few.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-tattoo.
The reason why I keep asking you about the tattoo is because you have another outstanding bet. So why don't you pay up on one of them?
Well, but that tattoos, that one's not outstanding.
Okay, well, let's swap it. You don't have to do the strip club when we go to Vegas. Starting this afternoon, we fly into Vegas.
But if the Chiefs go 20-0, I have to get a tattoo?
Yep, but the other bet's wiped off.
Okay. I mean, God, it feels like
so
a risk.
So, if the Chiefs go 20-0 in three-peat in a 20-0
what's
campaign,
the tattoo? Do I get to decide it?
It would be like the whatever. Is that just my headphones, or is everybody sounding weird?
No, I think it's just yours.
Okay. All of a sudden, it's very staticky. I think you get whatever the three-peat logo looks like or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, well, some version that's three-peat. I don't want you, like, you get to choose it and, like, the eye is a penis or something. You know,
no,
like,
no.
It's like, gonna be just cheap. As long as it's not ridiculous.
It's going to be Chiefs-related.
I'm not going to do that to you.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure that we've got some editorial control here. That's all.
You would,
if I'm just like, and you could choose whatever it is. That's a mistake. People just walk into that trip.
In fairness, if you're getting the tattoo, I feel like you
actually
should
it needs
be the
to be
one
that
approves it in the end.
It's you can either do the championship three-peat logo,
okay,
or it can just be Sky Moore in a uniform.
Oh God! The
okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
If those were the two choices, I'd rather have the Super Bowl logo with like a stripper on it. Like she's dancing, celebratory
on the Lombardi. She's actually grinding on the Lombardi. Perfect. Perfect. Mercedes on the Lombardi.
That is the idea. It's no longer the 3P logo. It is.
It's that one
because you mentioned it now.
I did put that into the world. Yes, I opened up that bag. Yes. Unfortunately.
So are you already then saying that we fly to Vegas? Right after the show today, you're already saying you're not going to pay off your bet over the next couple of days.
Well, you're just giving me the choice in this.
Is that the deal?
I'll take the deal.
Okay.
I'll take the tattoo deal.
Hang on. So
okay.
This is
always make deals on this show. We're constantly moving and shaking.
To be correct, the deal is if they don't, say they don't, does he still have to go?
No.
Or is it?
No, that's the trade. That's the trade.
That's the trade.
So this is, I think, a very fair offer for me to give to you.
Very reasonable. 100%. I would
because it's
say yes
still
going
to, I mean, to go 20-0 is a...
And you don't have to wait 2 more years for me to pay off the other end of this.
Yeah. I think it's an easy yes for Cody to agree to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Okay, well, at least we got there.
Renegotiating.
Up next, we're headed out to Nashville, all right? We're going to talk with our friends at 104.5 The Zone, get Will Bowling's perspective on this trade. What is DeAndre Hopkins at this point in his career? How can he impact the Chiefs based off the injury? All that next on Cody and Gold.